If you don't understand the language and customs, eating as well as the locals in Paris can often be intimidating. Restaurants and even grocery stores are often not open when your jet-lagged stomach wants them to be. And what about those waiters? Joining us right now on Travel with Rick Steves is American-born Mary Baron. She married a Frenchman several years ago, and they moved to Paris to start their family. Mary's clever blog advises visitors on fitting in like the locals in Paris, where she now calls herself a food stylist, which I understand even includes introducing her French neighbors to the joys of American-style Sunday brunch. We're at 877-333-RICK, and by email, it's radio@ricksteves.com. Mary, thanks for joining us again.
Hello, Rick.
What is a food stylist?
A food stylist is a cook for the camera, so I prepare the food that then goes into television commercials. The perfect croissant, I style the lettuce, I put lipstick on tomatoes, so that sort of thing.
Okay, so you know how to make food look good on camera, but I know also you know how to make food just flat out taste good. And you have a unique sort of ability to take an American outlook and put it into Paris because you're an American that married into Parisian culture.
I did.
From your experience, there's a lot of foodies in America that are going over to France and have a little frustration. Let's just look at Paris. What are some general tips to really embrace the food culture there and not be intimidated by it?
I think the most basic of tips is to just keep an open mind and try and fit in with your surroundings as much as possible in the food scene. So you've got to adjust your expectations, also oftentimes adjust your timing. So the French eat on a pretty specific schedule, so you've got to get in there with the French people when they're eating.
So this is a challenge for people when they travel anywhere, is eating on the right schedule. And I would say it's just common sense, if at all possible, to adapt to the local schedule rather than trying to find someplace that'll adapt to your schedule.
Exactly. I mean, we could take the example of breakfast and eggs. Breakfast happens at a pretty sort of specific time in France. By 10 o'clock, everyone's done eating breakfast. And a lot of Americans get there and want to have hot eggs for breakfast, but the French see eggs as more of a lunch and dinner food. You'll often see omelets on a menu, but that'll be in a cafe for lunchtime. So if anyone's serving eggs to you in the breakfast, they are doing that for your benefit as a tourist.
And if you're hell-bent on having eggs in Paris, you're going to have people accommodating you, but it's not going to be a Parisian experience any way you cut it.
Right. The French for breakfast usually have a pastry, a coffee, possibly a cigarette, some orange juice. That's about it. And so they save eggs for lunchtime. And because they have such light breakfasts, the French are raring to go at lunchtime. They're very hungry. So the restaurants fill at 12:30 on the dot.
I've had the interesting experience in a hotel where I am really ready to get going, and they won't serve me the breakfast yet because the croissants are not there yet, and they have to have fresh croissants.
Yes, yeah. Fresh croissants and hot croissants. So croissants and pain au chocolat fall into the category of viennoiserie. So this is all the various things made with crumbly, crispy, fragile croissant dough. So those are breakfast pastries. They're hot at breakfast time. So they're hot at 7:30. They're hot again. There's a second round at 4 or 4:30 when school gets out. Parents will often grab a pain au chocolat for an after-school treat.
Now, there is a great bakery tip.
Yeah, two times a day. Hot croissants in the morning and at 4. And baguettes are also hot in the morning, just before lunchtime and just before dinner. So there's usually 3 rounds in a day of baguettes.
And people know that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So if you're going to have dinner ready and you really are on the ball, you will time it so you can run out and get the hot baguette for the dinner.
That's right. Yeah, timing is essential. Yeah. And even if we want to talk for a second about grocery shopping, doing your various little shopping, the food shops are open in times that make sense to French people but that can confuse travelers. So if you're a French person, you want to go out and get fruit and vegetable, or you want to get some cheese, you want to get a roasted chicken, the times that you can do that are from 10:30 in the morning, so after breakfast, until about 12:30, because that would be your pre-lunch shopping.
Okay.
Then they oftentimes will close from about 12:30 or 1 until 4, and then they open back up at 4:30 for dinner shopping.
What's it? This is a grocery store?
No. There's big surface grocery stores, supermarché, hypermarché. Those are going
to
be open all day,
not
all night. No 24-hour in Paris. But this is like a cheese shop, a charcuterie shop.
Okay, so your classic little...
An épicerie, a fish stand. Those are going to close down in the middle of the day when everyone is eating lunch and having a nap.
Is that because people are actually shopping for the upcoming meal?
Yes.
Now, even that seems so basic, but it's almost foreign in America.
It is. And, I think a lot of that has to do with fridge size. the fridge I have in my apartment right now is actually about the same size as the fridge I had in my dorm room.
And that's a normal fridge when you're running a French family in an apartment. Mm-hmm. Because it's almost like you want an excuse to have to go to the market every day.
Yeah, you want an excuse, but
on the other hand, in the United States, we want an excuse not to go, so we have a freezer out in the garage.
Ah, that's right. If only you had a garage. Yeah.
You have a choice if you're a traveler. Mm-hmm. You can go to the efficient supermarket, or you can go to the traditional characteristic produce market.
The little
And I'm wondering, is there a tension in France between the efficiency that a big supermarket can provide, mm-hmm, and the classic tradition comfort? You go to the butcher, you go to the fruit man, and you know him, and he's been a friend of the family for generations.
Yeah,
and so on.
I think there is. I think that every time a French person goes to a grocery store, they wish they weren't there.
They sort of succumb to the efficiency,
they have to,
but they
because,
do it like wishing they could wishing be
they
traditional. Couldn't,
which may explain why people are so grumpy in line.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm speaking with my good friend Mary Barone, and she's a tour guide. She's a mother. She's moved in with her love in France and Paris, and she's embracing French culture, and she's sharing tips on how we can enjoy the food scene in Paris, because Mary likes food. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. Kristen's calling in from Arroyo Grande.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Hi, bonjour.
Bonjour. I have a quick question. I have daughters. We love to travel with them, and but they are finicky eaters. I have their 7 and 10, and I was just wondering if you had any tips for foods, Parisian foods in Paris that might be traditional that kids are likely to try.
Yeah, I would say the bakeries are a great place for kids to fill up because you can see everything before you're buying it. So that's a big plus. You can look into the quiche, see what's in there. One of my daughter's favorite things to munch on is a pain salé. So it's a savory bread. So they take baguette dough and then they roll in bits of cheese, lardon, which are sort of beefier pieces of bacon. Yeah, bigger bacon bit. Those go over well with kids. They sometimes have fruit rolled into them, goat cheese and peaches. That's a good sort of interesting
one. Because
you
have a 2.5-year-old,
right?
Yeah,
2.5, yeah.
Okay, so in your 2.5-year pays
and
attention.
So 7 and 10-year-old should be able to try that. I think if a 2.5-year-old is adventurous enough to try it.
That's right. And the bakery is a good place to get things and store them up. So sometimes it can be frustrating. I know you go out to a dinner, you order something separate for the kids. They don't really want to eat it. It's tough. So it's nice to have a little lardon bread in your purse to be able to slide out and give to them.
What about, right. a good standby when you have kids is these beautiful sandwiches that the bakeries make.
Beautiful sandwiches, yeah.
What's the vocabulary tips for sandwiches in a bakery?
The sandwiches are all going to be pre-made, so there's nothing too tricky to do. You just point and say this one, that one, and they'll...
Crudité.
Crudité, right. Crudité means that there's vegetables in there. Poulet is chicken. Jambon is ham. But the other thing is that French people really love kids. They genuinely do, so I'm really glad you're traveling with them. So if you're in a restaurant, you can say, for my children, pour les enfants, what do you think? And they can kind of on the spot will think maybe omelet and French fries, roast chicken and French fries. There's a lot of French fries in France.
So there's a lot of kid-friendly food that the waiter can help you with when you sit down.
That the waiter can help you with,
in a bistro or something.
Right. They're probably not going to have a kid's menu.
Right.
But if you ask about it, they'll try and kind of think about what they could do for you.
Good luck with
Thank
the kids,
so
Kristen.
Much.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Karen's on the line in San Francisco. Karen, thanks for your call.
Yeah, bonjour. Is there a Groupon-like service, that has daily deals available, or are there other smartphone apps that are in English?
There is a wonderful new website called ParisByMouth.com. A friend of mine, Meg Zimbeck, has started it. Beautiful website, great resource, lots of English reviews.
ParisByMouth.
ParisByMouth, yeah. She doesn't have an app yet. There's the Le Fooding app, L-E-F-O-O-D-I-N-G. That
Le
has
Fooding.
Le Fooding. Yeah, funny.
Le Fooding?
They've taken two English words, food plus feeling, and made this new word. It's Fooding, which means it's like, emotionally inspired food. It's a great resource with a little tiny English translation under each of their larger French reviews.
Okay, could you spell that again, please?
Yeah, Le Fooding. So LeFooding.com. And the first one that's all in English is Paris by Mouth. She also does some great food tours.
Karen is interested in eating well, but without spending a lot of money. Right, Karen? I mean, rather than a Groupon coupon or something, maybe Mary has an idea of just what kind of restaurant would you choose if you want a good value?
Okay, perfect.
I like to eat out at lunchtime in France. There's a lot of great deals around at lunch, more so than dinner. So I like to fill up as a traveler at lunchtime and then do something smaller, maybe a picnic in the evening. The best deals for lunchtime are going to be in something called a formule. I know we're going to go into vocabulary
soon.
No,
this is a good time to go into that. So like a formula, you'd see it seems like they've got a formula on the menu.
Yeah, a formula. So oftentimes it'll be for a set price, you can get a starter and a main, or you can get a main and a dessert, or sometimes it'll be the main plus a glass of wine, the plat de jour. So it's the plate of the day. You've got less choices, but they've always got a good value on it. So look for formules at lunchtime. That's the cheapest meals around.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good luck on your eating in Paris, Karen. Mary Baron is helping us out right now so we can understand the little things that make a big difference when eating out in Paris and how to minimize frustration over the different ways things are done in France. We're at 877-333-7425. Or by email, you can always reach us at radio@ricksteves.com. And don't forget, we include links to our guests in each week's show details. That's in the radio section at ricksteves.com. Mary, if we're thinking of vocabulary when it comes to ordering in restaurants, what are the hang-ups that people have and what are some clever words that we should be sure to know how to use properly?
Yeah, this can be a real point of confusion because English has adopted a lot of French words when we talk about food, but we've sort of jumbled them up a little bit. So the most basic word we need to get straight is the word in English that we use, menu.
Right.
So we think menu, we think piece of paper with items on it. In French, they use the word carte, which is a piece of paper.
For the piece of paper that has
the
list of food.
Paper, yeah.
So you could conceivably ask for the menu.
Well, this is where it gets tricky because the French do use the word menu, but it means something else. So the piece of paper with the food choices on it is la carte,
okay,
which we are familiar with the word à la carte when you're ordering something
from
à la carte.
From the menu.
Off the menu.
Oh, gotcha.
You're ordering individual items off of the menu.
Okay, à la carte. So you want la carte, so you can order à la carte.
À la carte, right. Now, if you were to get a menu or a formule, either one of those two words, we use the word in English prix fixe. Sometimes we mispronounce that prefix. Those are two French words as well, but the French don't use them. If you get down, you sit down, they bring you the carte.
Right.
You can look at that and you can choose à la carte, pick things off the menu.
Right.
Or on a subsection, they'll have a section titled the menu, and that means a set price menu of three courses. A formule will be a two-course menu. So once you're in there, you've got to pick, are you doing a la carte? Are you doing menu?
Right.
I suggest menu because it helps you pace your meal like a Parisian. They're going to bring it out slowly in courses. Sometimes people get worried about the amount of food. Oh, I couldn't possibly eat three courses.
Right.
But the French actually have smaller portion size. So our big plate of steak, potato, green beans, that all come at once. To the French, they just sort of divide it out. You start with a green bean salad, then you have your steak, and then maybe you have a smaller dessert. So it's just stretched out also over a longer period of time.
Now that you mention it, that's true. You could take everything you get in a three-course formula or whatever, and it put it on a big plate, and it would be like a big dinner plate at an American restaurant.
Yeah.
Well, that's a nice, more elegant way to eat it.
It is, yeah.
Very nice. And what about just the etiquette for bon appetit? Bon appétit.
Oh, yes.
Because it's such a fun word to say on the streets of
Paris.
It is
so fun. And we all know how to say it thanks to Julia Child. Bon appétit. you can say it with any accent you like. It's a wonderful way to connect with locals. The Parisians are notoriously grim-faced. One way to really crack a smile out of them is to wish them a bon appétit.
I've noticed that. You can walk down the street, and if you just slip out that bon appetit to somebody who's sitting in a cafe eating, they love it.
They love it. They will smile at you.
And they'll
say
it to you.
You. They'll say it back to you.
It's almost like they're not stiff, formal Parisians.
Exactly.
Suddenly, they're playful.
Yes. If you're sitting in a restaurant, the table next to you gets their food before you. You might lean over, admire it for a second, and say, bon appetit. And that may start an interesting conversation. Whereas in France, you don't say, you know, bless you when somebody sneezes. You don't say hello to someone unless you have something to say to them. This is a great way to just connect
on a
human level.
That's a good way to connect. Bon appetit. So we can say bon appetit like a crazy American.
All you want with a big grinning smile and they'll love
it. Free permission to bon appetit your way all across Paris. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're bon appetiting our way through Paris right now with Mary Baron. And Mr. Brown has emailed us from Sindelfingen in Germany. And he has said, I was in Paris 2 weeks ago and had the most amazing food off of the new food trucks. I heard restaurant owners are trying to get them banned. What's the latest? Are there food trucks in Paris?
Yeah. You know, the American food scene is really hot right now, and a lot of these trends are coming to Paris. Food trucks are run by Americans. It's funny because what is old is new again. In markets, for years, there's been a stand of someone selling crepes or someone making galettes or little pizzas.
Well, that's true,
or something.
Isn't it?
Yeah, or like the
crepe man. That's a food truck.
Chickpea galettes. Yeah, so
it's my favorite meal on Rue Claire is from the food
exactly.
truck.
Exactly. So it's sort of repackaged and now they're calling them food truck and it's super cool. The restaurateurs don't love it, but.
And they got to deal
with
it.
What are you going to do?
You know, I was watching the you make a beautiful video of cooking, and it's like you're bringing an American lightness and happiness to quality French cuisine. And you had some knack of introducing your French friends to bits of American cuisine that they are particularly curious about. French toast, brunch.
Yeah, brunch is a hot, hot thing right now. Everyone goes out to brunch. They sometimes do it a little wrong. I saw spaghetti on a brunch menu the other day. Which, but yeah, I love to
And you threw in the line, everything's better with bacon.
Everything's better with bacon, which is the French.
Parisians agree with that.
Yes, they do. They have a similar line in French, which is tout est bon chez le cochon. Everything's good in the pig.
Everything's good in the pig.
Snout to tail.
Say it again.
Tout est bon dans le cochon.
Tout est bon dans le cochon.
Oui, bravo.
I can almost say that. All right. Mary, I know that you've got a beautiful relationship with Grégoire.
Yeah.
Have you developed some food rituals with your husband, Grégoire, in Paris? What do you and him do to really enjoy an evening out? Let's just finish our interview
That's
with that.
A wonderful thought. Question, Rick. We have something we call a celebration meal, where you want to eat something really good, but you don't want to spend the whole evening cooking because you want to enjoy time with your partner. So for anyone renting an apartment, these are things you can find in the grocery store or in an épicerie. It's a can of duck confit. So they're in metal tins. Inside them are two duck legs that have been confit, slowly cooked in their own fat.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very sort of shreddy and tender, and they're already fully cooked. So what you need to do is open up that can, scoop out a little bit of the golden fat, toss it in some potatoes, slide those into the oven with some fleur de sel. Those cook about 45 minutes. Then, kind of 15 minutes before you think the potatoes are done, get out a frying pan. Take the thighs out of the duck fat, place them in a pan, and they're going to slowly start to sizzle and get golden and crispy. Again, they're already cooked, so you just need to get them crisped up. And then make a little salad. Got those with your potatoes, the duck, the salad. Open a bottle of vin rouge, and it is a wonderful meal.
Whoa. And you know what I would say?
Bon appetit.
Bon appetit. Bon appetit. Mary Brown, thank you so much. I want to go to Paris right now and put some of these tips into good use. Maybe I'll see you there.
Yay.
Merci bien.
Merci.
Bon appetit, mademoiselle. Nous fredonnons pendant qu'on sait. Bon appetit, mademoiselle. C'est un café au lait qu'on sait. Dévorez à belle quenotte, car nous voulons vous égayer.
Our next course on Travel with Rick Steves is a generous and tasty serving of the Basque Country, which crosses from the southwest corner of France through much of northeastern Spain. Guides from the region will explain what earns the hearty Basque cuisine such high praise wherever it's found, and they'll tell us what you can look forward to on your next visit to the Basque Country.